Good morning. Welcome back to Real Presence Live. I'm Heather Caro.
And I'm Doug Weingart.
And we're your hosts this morning, broadcasting from the Pastoral Center here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And a beautiful day. We've had a great first hour. Hard to believe it's already over, but we started with Bishop Donald DeGroote, and then we moved on to Sarah Hofflander, talking about a new hybrid school. And we're just going to keep on rolling. We've got Jason Adkins on the line. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
So you are the executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, and we've been getting updates from you about things that are going on in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I would have to say in our listening area, the number one area we're kind of paying more attention to see what's going on with the legislature. So let's just dive right in, Jason. Let's talk about the Minnesota Child Tax Credit.
Well, tax day is coming up April 15th, and Minnesotans have the opportunity, especially low and middle income Minnesotans, to receive the Minnesota Child Tax Credit. And what that is a credit of up to $1,750 for each child as a way of offsetting and defraying the cost of child rearing. And so this is one of our signature legislative initiatives of the last couple of years, part of our Families First project, strengthen economic security and economic stability for Minnesota families who are doing the most important work of raising kids. Now, the trick is to receive that child tax credit, you have to file a tax return, and not everyone has been filing tax returns. They just have the withholding taken from their paychecks, but it's an important opportunity to go file that tax return. There are places to find free tax help. So far, as of Monday, $437 million in tax relief has been distributed to 370,000 kids in Minnesota families. And so it's making a huge impact here in Minnesota for low and middle income families. And people say, well, I might not be eligible. Maybe I'm not going to bother. But even if you have one child, up to $1,750 credit, for example, a family of eight, six kids, married family of eight, with an $80,000 household income, will receive about $10,000in tax relief. So this is, even if you don't pay income taxes, you do qualify. So folks who pay, you know, property taxes, sales tax, all kinds of fees, this is a way, again, of alleviating the tax burden and supporting Minnesota families who are raising the next generation. There is no cap on the number of children who qualify for the tax credit, which was a signature part of that legislation. And
so it's a good day to be Catholic.
It's a great day to be Catholic, and we had Catholic families in mind as we helped to create and get this enacted, was to say, look, a family's a family, no matter how small or how big, and so they should all be eligible. And again, as we face a workforce shortage here and a demographic crisis, we need Minnesota to be an attractive place to raise family and raise families and have children and help them flourish. And so that's a really, really important legislative victory, and it's already providing real meaningful relief to Minnesota families. So I encourage everyone to file a tax return, learn more about that at our website, familiesfirstproject.com. Again, that's familiesfirstproject.com.
All right, so people can learn more about that if you're in the Minnesota area. So let's move on to Senator John Marty introducing a new bill with sports gambling.
Well, Senator John Marty is a veteran of the Minnesota Senate. He even ran for governor here as a longtime respected legislative leader. We sometimes disagree with Senator Marty on some key issues, but it's great to work together across the aisle in a bipartisan way on issues where there's common ground for the common good. And he is the legislature's most outspoken opponent of gambling expansion and an expansion of sports betting in our state and online mobile betting. And so this week he introduced a new piece of legislation, Senate File 5330, and the goal is to put all these common sense reforms into one place. So we're working with him to oppose gambling expansion, but we also want to say, if we are to have this and join the 33 other states with sports gambling, what is the responsible way to do this, and what does that look like? So he's put all these responsible safeguards in one place, and he's really put the onus on gambling proponents to say, why can't we have these things? This bill, gambling proprietors will still make money. So is it the only reason, profits, and why we can't have a bill like this? So he's really throwing down the gauntlet and putting the debate right at the center to say, the profit motive here is what's guiding this conversation. If we're going to have mobile sports betting and online sports betting, putting a casino in everyone's pocket or a sports book in everyone's pocket through their cell phone, at least we should do it responsibly, and putting on them to say why we shouldn't do it. And the reality is, the only real reason why proponents of gambling expansion wouldn't embrace Senator Marty's bill is precisely because their profits will decrease. Mm-hmm. And so I think it calls the question here, what's already starting to emerge in the culture is that gambling is a bad bet. It's a bad bet for states. It's a bad bet for our communities. We're seeing the way in which sports are being impacted with Shohei Ohtani of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the emerging gambling scandal there. College and National Basketball Association coaches saying this has gone too far. Our players are getting heckled because they're scoring at the end of games and beating the over-under. College players getting harassed because of the way in which they're performing in games one way or another. And so Senator Marty's bill does things like ban push notifications on phones from betting apps, banning in-game betting. So just real common sense things that we should put in place, allowing people to opt out once they've reached a limit on their losses, for example, put themselves on a list where they're not going to be advertised to. So, again, a lot of common sense things all put in one place in his bill and really, again, putting the onus on proponents to say, well, why shouldn't we do it like this if we're going to do it? And it just exposes the whole gambling industry as a predatory industry motivated by profits. And we should be really putting people ahead of profits in this whole conversation. So proud to be working on this with Senator Marty and then pushing back on gambling expansion, talking about problem betting and why it's going to be a bad bet for the state of Minnesota.
Interesting. All right. Well, we still have a little bit of time left, so let's dive into the House Health, Finance, and Policy Committee that would mandate insurance to cover abortion. Can we talk about that one?
Yes. Religious freedom has been a big issue at the legislature this year. Certainly, we've talked on this show about the ongoing work to bring all kinds of faith communities together to support the restoration of the religious exemption in the Human Rights Act related to gender identity discrimination. Well, here's another twist on the religious freedom question, is that the bills that mandate coverage of both abortion and so-called gender-affirming care in state health plans, will there be a religious exemption for both for-profit, closely held businesses, nonprofits, and religious employers who don't want to be paying for that in their coverage? And so, fortunately, legislative Democrats have agreed with our request to put a religious exemption into those abortion and gender-affirming care mandates, precisely because our view is that they're not authentic health care, and health insurance should cover health care and not things that aren't health care. And so, along with the already existing contraception religious exemption already in law, there's going to be what's essentially a global exemption for religiously affiliated employers so that they're not violating their deeply held beliefs with these coverage mandates, and they can continue to offer health insurance to their employees. Mm. And I think that's the key goal here, is we want to still be able to offer health insurance to our employees, and it's important that we get these coverage exemptions. So we are grateful that Democrats in the legislature have agreed to those exemptions, and we expect to see those enacted into law this year. Nothing's done until it's done, but certainly an important victory for religious freedom from the standpoint of insurance coverage and employer coverage mandates, because one way or another, both employees and employers pay for those mandates in insurance. The cost gets passed on because of those coverage mandates and the expenses that are incurred. So a good win, and an encouraging win on religious freedom in Minnesota.
Beautiful. We needed a win, didn't we, Jason?
We always need wins, and that's it. We have to be faithful, not successful, but we also like W's every once in a while.
So, Jason, if people are interested in some of the things that you've been talking about, where can they go to find more information?
MNCatholic.org. Again, that's MNCatholic.org. We have great opportunities to stay on top of what's going on at the Capitol. Certainly follow us on social media as well, but if you go to MNCatholic.org, you can sign up for the Catholic Advocacy Network that allows you to connect with legislators directly. We share with you important updates on key pieces of legislation, and because you've signed up, we can connect you directly with your legislators, and with a click of the mouse, you can send them a message that you can personalize about why an issue is important to you and what your legislator should do about it. It's really important that Catholics step forward as faithful citizens and help their legislators come to the right decisions on important pieces of legislation. Already in Minnesota this year, there have been over 10,000 bills introduced, which is a record. Sheesh. Not every legislator is on top of every piece of legislation, so it's important that they hear from you, their constituents, about what matters and what they should do about it. And people say, well, is it really worth my time? My legislator is in this party or that party, and he or she won't agree. It's always worth the effort. It just takes a click of the mouse. And even if your legislator doesn't specifically agree with you on an issue, they do keep track of how many messages go into them. And it may say, well, I might have a position that's opposed, but maybe we as a party or as a legislative caucus don't want to move this forward this year. And it really does make an impact and make a difference. I can't underscore that enough, and it's just so easy. It takes so little effort to sign up for the Catholic Advocacy Network, and when you get those emails, just click send on the message, and it really, really makes a difference. Again, people can go and sign up for the Catholic Advocacy Network at our website, mncatholic.org. Again, that's mncatholic.org.